Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Later in the hour, we'll talk with Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway about her first impressions of the important statewide post and why she's continuing the effort to oust St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery from office. But first, in the aftermath of the May 16th tornado in St. Louis, Republicans and Democrats were united behind wanting the Federal Emergency Management Agency to assist in cleanup efforts. In fact, St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer noted earlier this year that FEMA's help and money would be essential to help the city recover.
No city can shoulder the burden of a natural disaster the size of the tornado that hit us on May 16th alone. It is absolutely impossible to do that without the assistance of FEMA.
But roughly 5 months after the tornado cut a path of devastation throughout St. Louis and St. Louis County, there is now bipartisan agreement that FEMA did not act as quickly as it should have. For instance, St. Louis Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard has said that not enough assistance came into her 10th ward, which suffered immense damage from the storm.
People are frustrated. They don't want to go to another meeting. They quite frankly don't need another hot dog. They need funds to rebuild, and they need a pathway to know, and they need tough people that can have honest, tough conversations with them about if this is not what you're going to be able to do, what is the plan B? Don't give up. Don't walk away, please. But what is your plan B and C so that we can help you meet you there and take you forward? We're getting ready to go into a season change. It's scary.
Late last month, U.S. Senator Josh Hawley wrote a letter to FEMA administrators inquiring about delays in getting assistance provided in a timely manner.
I mean, this is what I've said to the FEMA acting director, both officially by letter and directly, person to person, which is they've got to do better than what they've done in St. Louis. And to be honest with you, Jason, this is a pattern that we've seen over and over and over, whether it's flooding, whether it's tornadoes, whether it's St. Louis, whether it's rural Missouri. It just seems like it's the same dadgum thing every time, which is they're late, they don't get the aid on time, they don't give people the assistance they qualify for. I've even seen them take back assistance from individuals that they awarded, which is absurd.
This comes after President Donald Trump's administration laid off some FEMA workers shortly after he returned to the White House. Democratic Congressman Wesley Bell, whose district includes parts of the region affected by the tornado, says the Trump administration has not made it easier for the city of St. Louis to recover.
It has been a priority of this administration to strip FEMA for parts. And the president has said as much. And so this is a matter of your budgetary decisions reflecting your values. And I, and what I'm seeing from some of my colleagues, many, if not all my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, they're real brave when it comes to interviews, but they won't stand up to the president when it's time to cast their vote.
But Hawley says he wasn't impressed with how FEMA operated, even when the agency had higher staffing levels.
You know, I have to say, Jason, that I haven't noticed any difference in performance now than earlier because it's all been substandard, just to be honest with you. I mean, I think the truth is that every time it seems like to me Missouri has a significant disaster, we're behind the eight ball and FEMA's not delivering. And I've had this fight with FEMA director. I mean, I've been through three or four of them now. And it's the same thing every time. Every time it's, well, we'll try to get there. Oh, we don't have the manpower. Then they're slow to get the resources. Then individual assistance, which is what goes to private citizens. Yeah, they don't quite deliver it on time, or they don't have the application period open. And we could go on and on. We're seeing it again in St. Louis.
Hawley is not the only member of the Missouri federal delegation underwhelmed by federal response to disasters. Republican Congressman Sam Graves contends the agency is overly slow in delivering aid and often makes it difficult for individuals to get money for crucial repairs. So the Republican from Tarkio in northwest Missouri, who happens to be the chairman of the powerful House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, is teaming up with some of his Democratic colleagues to overhaul FEMA. That includes changing how the individual aid application process works and who oversees the agency. I spoke with Graves last week about his legislation, first asking why he felt overhauling FEMA should be a priority.
Well, the biggest thing is, or the biggest reason is because FEMA is broken. It's been broken for quite a while now, to be quite honest with you. In fact, my entire time in Congress, I've worked with four different presidents, two Republicans, two Democrats, and it's been broken, and it gets worse. It gets worse and worse and worse since we put FEMA in the Department of Homeland Security. It's gotten a lot worse. And so, you know, we're tired of this. We're tired of constituents having to deal with the problems and the red tape and taking forever. And so we just decided that we need to make some serious changes rather than nibbling around the edges, make some serious changes to FEMA that that matter. And, you know, and we're moving forward with that.
So President Trump and Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem have openly discussed completely eliminating FEMA. This bill that we're going to talk about more in this conversation is not eliminating the agency. Why do you feel that FEMA in some form should still exist within the federal government?
Because the federal government provides most of the funding. So here's how we want to structure it, though. We want to put the states in the driver's seat. We want the states to be in charge of recovery efforts supported by the federal government, not the federal government being in the driver's seat. So we want to flip it around. The states are much more responsive. They're closer to the disaster than the federal government is, than a bureaucrat within the federal government. And so, again, we want to put the states in the driver's seat so that they are leading the effort. And then the federal government can support that, obviously, with funding and technical or whatever assistance that is needed. But the states will get to make the determinations.
When I heard, for example, Secretary Noem talking about eliminating FEMA, I didn't react as negatively as other people did, because from a conceptual standpoint, let's just say the federal government gave the states a certain amount of money every year for disaster response. You're correct that state and local emergency responders are going to be able to react to disasters a lot quicker than the federal government. I think that sort of archetype falls apart if you're not giving the states enough money, or there's like such a terrible disaster, it goes well beyond like the allotted amount of money. What do you think of that sort of back of the napkin analysis about why there may still have to be some sort of FEMA in some form, and it's not just like a block grant program to the states?
Well, it's again, it provides framework, I guess you might say, and obviously, you know, the federal government or Congress, we set the guidelines or try to set the guidelines. Unfortunately, we have bureaucrats that go in and they change that, or they reevaluate the language to, you know, better reflect what their priorities are rather than what Congress's priorities are. But you know, again, as you pointed out, and as I pointed out, the states are much better at responding. They're much closer to the disaster itself. Let the states, you know, run it. Let the states be in charge of getting that aid to those families. You know, in some cases, we've seen aid take a year, months, you know, best case, weeks to get to those individuals. And then in many cases, in fact, we passed a bill in 2022, I had a bill that basically was, it eliminated re-victimization. And this is classic federal government. In some cases, the federal government would come back to recipients of FEMA aid maybe months or years later and want that money given back. And when we have found out that it may have been due, they may have been given money based on something that FEMA did or a mistake that FEMA made, not the individual, and yet they clawed back. And so It's things like that. That is classic federal government bureaucracy that has gotten too big and too bloated, and they can't respond, and they can't respond not only in a timely manner, but obviously they make mistakes, and they make a lot of mistakes. So that's one of the reasons why I want to put it back into the state's hands and let them be the driver.
You actually touched on a pretty significant problem that I kind of analyzed after the St. Louis tornado. So President Trump ended up approving Governor Kehoe's emergency disaster declaration about a month after the tornado occurred. What was striking is when I looked at FEMA's approval, when I looked at the sort of time frame between when a disaster happened and when an emergency declaration was approved, it just in Missouri, 4 weeks was actually pretty short. Sometimes it takes more than 4 weeks. Sometimes it takes a couple of months. Is there anything in this bill that would make the process more efficient so resources and federal personnel can really recover a disaster more quickly?
It does. There's several things that we do. But we do replace that slow, bureaucratic rebuilding process. And what we're going to do is we're going to replace that with a much faster project-based grant process where states are going to be able to set the pace of that recovery. They're going to be able to reduce their dependence on consultants, which create all kinds of problems, by the way. And it throws money out into places where it's not going to actually help the individual. It's going to prioritize the highest need projects without having to take out, expensive loans or wait years for reimbursement. It streamlines the whole. One of the biggest problems with FEMA right now is this lengthy, very, very complicated process in terms of actually applying the paperwork that is involved. And this streamlines it, brings all the agencies that may have jurisdiction, it brings them together into one approval process, and it streamlines that application process considerably. Those are just a few of the things that it does to help out and get that aid quicker than it is being delivered right now.
So just to clarify, when you say the application process, is that for individual aid or is that for states to basically make the ask to the president and to FEMA to unlock all the resources that could come both to individuals and to local governments?
It's mostly for individuals themselves. So disaster survivors, they're going to complete a single streamlined application when applying for assistance and in disaster relief. And, it ends the confusion that's caused by this complex system. And you got to think about it. Let's say you're an individual and now your house has been flooded and all your belongings are gone, or a tornado's come through and everything is gone. Then FEMA comes rolling in and gives you this long book of application process to do. You're not thinking about that at the time. And to be quite honest with you, it's very hard to sit down and try to focus and even do this stuff. And it's ridiculous that it has to be that way. Again, that's the reason we're going to put state in the driver's seat. We're going to have state responders right there to be able to help out. We're going to streamline this application process for individuals. And we're going to make it a whole lot easier to make a determination on, where money should go and prioritizing those projects and the disaster and the assistance that needs to be done.
I'm talking with Republican Congressman Sam Graves about his efforts to overhaul FEMA, and we'll continue this conversation after a short break. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. Welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. We now return to my conversation with Congressman Sam Graves a Republican who represents Missouri's 6th congressional district, which spans most of North Missouri. Graves is part of a bipartisan effort in Congress to overhaul FEMA. Your bill also would require, quote, clear, understandable notices to disaster survivors, ending the confusion caused by complex and jargon-filled denial letters. And this caught my attention because in the case of the St. Louis tornado, I have seen instances where somebody applies, they get this denial letter like maybe an hour later, and it's clearly generated by like an algorithm, because I don't think that FEMA is like writing that letter that quickly. And then it asks, it says you're denied unless you give more information to kind of substantiate your claim. Can you kind of talk about that aspect of this?
Yeah, and that's something that we have seen. In fact, I saw it in some flooding in my district. And, you know, again, that just further strengthens why we want to put the state in charge of making these determinations. They're so much closer to the disaster itself, individuals on the ground being able to make, you know, timely decisions rather than through this very impersonal, very, as you pointed out, algorithm-driven denial process. And you're exactly right. In some cases, it comes out almost immediately upon submitting this long, lengthy application, and then they get denied. And they're sitting there looking at their home that has either been washed away or blown away or whatever the case may be, and they're told that, you know, they don't qualify for disaster assistance. And it's just, you know, it comes down to classic federal government bureaucracy that has gone too big, and they are very, very detached from the disaster or the response or the aid that is to be given. And that's the biggest problem. That's the reason we're going to bring it back to local hands.
I do want to play devil's advocate for a minute, because in both the emergency declaration approval process and also the approval process for individual aid, there has to be some sort of process in place to make sure, A, states aren't asking for disaster relief when they really don't need it, and B, like, individuals aren't saying that, like, their homes have been damaged and they need a lot of money when they haven't. Or what sort of things are going to be put in place to make sure there is some oversight to make sure money is just not flowing to states or people that don't deserve it?
Well, and you're absolutely correct. And unfortunately, things like this happen. Unfortunately, you do have individuals, unscrupulous individuals, that will claim that they had their house was blown away or whatever the case may be, and they're scamming the system, and they're pulling down money, and then they just disappear. And it's absolutely correct, and you have to make sure that that does not happen. And that may account for one of the reasons why, the process takes too long. And again, I come back to that's the reason we want to put the states in charge. The states are closer to the process. The states are closer to the disaster. They can have individuals, you know, boots on the ground almost immediately, and they can make the determination. You know, just a simple question. Show me your house. You know, show me or where your house was. Show me what happened. Rather than doing all of this, you know, with a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C., which is going to have no knowledge or whatever, or going to take forever for them to actually get out there and make that determination. Again, that's the reason we want to put this back into the states. And that's something that is a very bipartisan way of looking at it and way of doing it. And that's the reason this bill was able to get as much support as it was, because everybody is in agreement that the state should be in charge of this and not the federal government.
I wanted to talk about probably the most important part of this bill that you also mentioned on the outset, and that is taking FEMA out of the Department of Homeland Security and making it an independent agency that is accountable directly to the President of the United States, which was the case before 2003. Can you talk about why you think that would make FEMA a better agency?
Yes, and basically what we're doing is reestablishing it at a cabinet level position. And this does make FEMA directly responsible or accountable to the President of the United States, whoever that may be, at the time. And I think it's going to help out immensely. Homeland Security, the Department of Homeland Security has grown into this. It's an immense bureaucratic agency that was obviously created, and a lot of things get lost in the the confusion or the fog, if you will, when it comes to responses, when it comes to just about everything within Homeland Security. And I know the president's trying to clean that up. He's hoping to do that. In fact, even with FEMA, the president understands that FEMA is broken, and we need to fix this and fix it once and for all. And it's been broken for a long time. Doing that, we believe by doing that, it's going to take FEMA back to, the way it used to be, and that was, much more responsive, much more accessible agency, and that is one of the most important things that we do in this bill is reestablishing it as a cabinet level agency.
Now, one of the benefits of being the dean of the Missouri congressional delegation is you were actually in Congress when this decision was made to move FEMA into the Department of Homeland Security. Can you talk about what went into that decision and just why you think it hasn't worked out 22 years later?
Well, and this has been building over time. Again, we have seen a slow erosion of, FEMA, response and in their mission, to be quite honest with you, over time. And it's taking a long time. And I fought against at the time, and the reason I fought against moving FEMA into Homeland Security was because the Transportation Committee right now has jurisdiction over FEMA and had jurisdiction over FEMA before. But that was diluted considerably because now it has dual jurisdiction. Committee on Transportation and the Committee on Homeland Security have dual jurisdiction, and that makes it harder to get things done and to get reforms passed or the things that need to be done. But over time, and this happens, once in a while, and you figure out that it was, something like this was probably not a good idea. And obviously, we have seen that FEMA doesn't work nearly as well as it did when it was an independent agency and answered directly to the president and the administrator, was able to lead coordinated and government-wide responses to disasters. And so we're just going to take it back. Unfortunately, it didn't work, and it's gotten worse over time. And I don't say this is a Democrat or Republican thing at all. It's gotten worse under Republican administrations and Democrat administrations. And, it's just an agency that, for lack of a better term, has kind of fallen through the cracks in many cases. And it's also an agency that, people depend on in a big way when they need it. And when they need, help right now, nobody expects a flood. Nobody expects a tornado. Or a disaster to hit them, it happens. And when it does happen, it's devastating. And, and people need that relief just as quickly as they can get it.
I would definitely agree, based off people who I've talked to, that the problems that you just described with FEMA predate the Trump administration. They were there during the George W. Bush administration, the Obama administration, the first Trump administration, the Biden administration. But I do have to ask this question. There's been reports that the president's administration cut a lot of jobs from FEMA at the beginning of his second term. Do you think that that has had a negative impact on the way that this agency has been able to respond to disasters in the first 8-9 months of the year?
To be honest with you, I don't think so, because one of the things we have found out is there are a lot of individuals in some of these agencies, and FEMA being one of them, that either they're duplicative or they simply are there in charge of programs that either don't exist or nobody uses anymore. And so you have to ask the question, you know, what is it you do? And, you know, when you can't get an answer, that is extraordinarily frustrating and makes you wonder, you know, what we continue to have people in positions, continue to pay people in positions, yet nobody can answer the question on what it is that their position is supposed to be doing. And so with that came a, you know, a for lack of a better term, a cleanup or trying to streamline these agencies and make them more efficient, and then come back. And if we need to add people in places that need that, you know, the help or the extra manpower, then we can look to do that. But that was the intent in the beginning, and that's exactly what the intent should have been. Instead of continuing to grow, you know, these agencies, and particularly in places where individuals aren't needed, you know, we need to cut back and then reevaluate.
So this is probably like the $64,000 question. What do you think the chances of this bill making it through Congress are? It is a bipartisan bill. You're working on it with other Democratic members, I think, of the Transportation Committee. And have you spoken with President Trump or his administration kind of about whether he likes these ideas or not?
Again, the president knows the FEMA is broken and he wants to see it fixed. And we have had conversations with the administration about doing this. They are very interested in it. Obviously, this is a very bipartisan bill, and I think we're going to pass it out of the House overwhelmingly and then get it over the Senate. It's hard to, you know, I can't predict what the Senate's going to do. It's hard to predict what the Senate's going to ever do. And so hopefully they will see if this has a strong bipartisan vote in the House, that puts a lot of pressure on the Senate to get something done and get something passed, because that means the public is very interested in seeing this done. And so that helps out considerably. So I'm very optimistic that we're going to be able to get this done. You know, we've been able to do a lot of things in the Transportation Committee. We have passed a very bipartisan Water Resources Development Bill. We passed a very bipartisan FAA reauthorization. We've passed a very bipartisan safety bill. You know, just a variety of things that we have worked on, and we've been able to pass it. We pass it out of committee, extraordinarily bipartisan, and so that helps considerably when you have the backing of both sides. It basically streamlines it.
That was Congressman Sam Graves, who represents Missouri's 6th Congressional District, which encompasses most of northern Missouri. I spoke with him last week.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.